direct from the middle of nowhere to the center of everywhere. It's Beneath the Surface with Sean Murphy and Corey Cooper.
Well, there's a one, sprocket.
Two, three, four. And we're on.
Sprockets and chains.
Welcome
and
back to another episode of Beneath the Surface. Sean is rambling in the background as usual. I am your host, Corey Cooper. I'm the CEO here at Boat, and as you're all kind of aware now, for those of you that listen to the podcast, my side gig is a podcast host. Side gig. It's like a gig. I'm joined today, as usual, with our photographer, Mr. Sean Murphy. He's having to share a microphone today with another guest. I think he's the first-time guest of our show, Mr. Aaron May.
Hello.
He's the product director here at Boat. And we snagged him. Actually, you flew in from Denver, right?
Yeah, came in from Colorado earlier this week.
Colorado, eh?
They don't say that there.
I know,
Corey.
Hey, I've got a Canadian Wisconsin accent too.
So. Really?
Yeah.
Do you drive a Subaru?
No.
Do you wear Birkenstocks and ride a Subaru and smoke tons of weed?
Yes, that is legal in our state.
You do. You are wearing a Colorado shirt right now in Florida. What do people think when you just walk around in a Colorado hoodie?
They just keep asking me, "Is weed free? And how is it?"
Aaron,
free,
you're,
free, free.
Speak into the microphone, Sean.
Sorry.
Hey, Sean, you're Sean's the louder of the two.
I'm hiding, so we're trying to get
Aaron
the levels
whispers, right. And Sean is hiding right now. Man, these shows sure do go rogue every time we do them. I have to apologize every single time we do a podcast, I think, to the people that are listening. You know, sorry for your ears. And you will definitely not be smarter when you listen to our podcast. In fact, I'm pretty sure it makes people dumber. But today, we're going to talk about some technical stuff. Aaron has been working here at Boat for almost exactly, well, less than a year, but you've been working on this project that we're going to talk about today.
Just about a year.
The pedal drive, the Lono pedal drive kayak and the Apex pedal drive kit.
Kit.
Right?
Yep.
I reached out to you basically kind of on a outsourced gig level. You know, I was like, hey man, we're going to start going down the pedal drive road. You want to take this one on. What'd you think? Did you think I was crazy? Did you think we can do it?
I thought you were completely crazy, especially given the timeline you set out.
Oh, don't be a crybaby.
Welcome to Boat, dude. Make this now.
One year.
That's like that. What
are
we? Five lives.
Yeah, I was about to say, look, lives. Give me 1 year. I'll make another business. So yeah, Aaron, I reached out to you and I said, "Hey man, we need this in a year." I gave you a long time, you know what I mean, do it.
Yeah.
And you and I worked together a lot. We kind of created the identity for this thing of how we, you know, wanted it to work, all the different features and benefits, and just the whole package. And then you kind of started working from it from there. And we had some ideas for how we wanted this thing to kind of work, right? And I don't know if you can remember putting you on the spot, but you know, just talk about a little bit about the kind of those features or those benefits that we really wanted this thing to have when we set out to design it. So, you know, people can hear the thought that went into this thing.
I think the big one was, I mean, a couple things. We wanted to add this into an inflatable system, so we needed to make a way to get this unit through an inflatable paddleboard or kayak in this case.
Yep.
That was one of the biggest probably challenges that we started off with. And then second, you know, we needed to make a system or some kind of dry system that allowed the user easy access to get propulsion both forward and reverse. You know, we looked at what was out there in the marketplace and needed to come up with a solution that fit that profile.
When we were looking at all the different types that are on the market, I mean, you've got, like, you know, I don't even know what you call them, but screw-driven, you know, props that are off of, like, a, you know,
Belt drive gears,
flappers, flailers, laughers, screamers, uppers, downers.
Things that make you go sideways.
Whole barrel thrusters and, oh, yeah. Like you said, it was going to be on inflatables.
Yep.
And, you know, by default, our inflatables really don't have a hole in them.
Correct.
I mean, kind of on purpose. You know, we don't really want holes.
Don't want water coming in.
Yeah, you don't want water coming in. You don't want holes. So we started, I guess, the first, you know, just to kind of guide you along here in the conversation, the first product that we've integrated this on was our Lono Aero Kayak. And so you then basically had to take some of these high-level features, right?
Yeah.
And then kind of try to mash the two. So you're, you know, we not only did the pedal drive, we also had to do kind of a kayak. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And we had to make the ability for it to steer at the same time. So it was kind of a twofold thing that we were working on both.
So just talk about all that. Talk about where we started first on that stuff.
You know, I think
if you can remember.
Gosh, that was a while ago. A lot of late
Come
nights.
Come on, man. I can help.
Ton of late nights since then.
Don't be a crybaby.
You know, a lot of it was, you know, just coming up with a way to get that interface between the inflatable and this rigid unit, which was the pedal drive, which is basically just, you know, a bunch of, you know, almost kind of like a bunch of bicycle parts and gears.
Yeah, I got the pedal drive development list up right here.
Do you have it?
Yeah, man.
Oh, look at that.
So, and I'm going to, I mean, look, you just started saying one of the key features that I wanted on this that I told you, this thing needs to be toolless.
Yep.
You know, I didn't want, you know, welders and blowtorches.
We wanted something easy in and easy out so that, you know, if you needed to remove the unit to, you know, clear some rocks or, you know, get it up on shore, you could easily pull the unit out and do that. So we had to have a way to do that.
Removable. I wanted the whole system. The whole thing.
The whole thing removable, yep.
You know, to be removable. So it could be just a kayak.
Yep.
You know, so
We had to make a port.
Yeah, a port. A removable port.
A pedal port.
And a port. The Apex pedal port. That's the trademark brand name.
But to me, it's just it looks cool because you can look through the hole and see fish and stuff.
Well, that was a side effect.
That's badass.
I mean, we didn't set out, you know, so we're going in circles here, but there's a port, you know, Aaron designed this port that sits down on the deck of the Lono, and you use to strap it or to just kind of adhere it to the deck. You know, there's no tools. It's these four little G-clips that, I know I'm painting a picture here for those of you listening. If you got a hole in the middle of the kayak, you've got this flange-looking plastic piece that then slides right down in, and there's four G-clips. It's simply just insert. And then when you inflate the kayak, it secures this port in place to receive the pedal drive. Now, the Lono comes standard with this port. It doesn't come with the pedal drive, but it comes with the Apex pedal port. And so for the average consumer, if you weren't going to buy the pedal drive, we needed a way to cover this hole. It's not going to sink, but it would just, you know, not keep water from coming in. So we had the idea to do plastic, you know,
clear cover
so that you can see down,
see your fish and your crocodiles
and manatees and crocodiles,
a little bit of all that, but yes. So this thing is, I mean, I know we're talking in circles, but this thing was like a Rubik's cube when we started off on this thing. You've got like eight. You've got it. You know where to go, but you're sitting here twisting all these different angles. And we probably went back and forth on,
oh gosh, four or five flanges, I think we went on initially.
That's after
we had the flange idea, correct. Yeah, initially it was like, okay, how the hell are we going to stick this thing through the inflatable and make it, you know, usable for what we're trying to do? And then also make it rigid enough that, I mean, you got to think your legs are the largest, you know, muscle group in there, and you're going to be pushing a lot of force on this thing.
Yeah.
You know, we needed to make it as robust as possible.
Yeah, and then inflatables they're very rigid, but the surface, like the top surface and the bottom surface, there's still some flex in the individual surface itself. Yeah. You know, as a whole, they're extremely rigid, but the individual surfaces, you can still get some movement. It's not like a rigid plastic surface. So we had to kind of come up with a concept to disperse the load, you know, pretty uniformly around the top of the deck so that we could have more surface area to disperse that.
And also the pressure in the drop stitch helps a lot too, you know, by inflating our pressure to 10 to 15, it really locks that unit in and keeps it nice and rigid.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. You guys are both engineers and I'm not. When you're designing this, is it all in the computer or do you actually, in Colorado, do you somehow have parts that you can cut and play with and work on that physically, or is it so all just
in? It was a combination of CAD and
wood.
Corey and me and wood and sketches and hand sketches and video conferences. You know, this was also the time COVID was hitting everything. But, you know, we were video chatting back and forth with, hey, what about this? What about that? And just sketching things up and building stuff, you know, building mock-ups.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a whole combination.
Oh, dude, I've got some photos.
Is it kind of like doing a building a car, like they do cars with?
Well, yeah, so we would have to do multiple things. In our sense, we didn't have, if we were creating like a new pedal drive, this would have been way easier. But we had to, in parallel, create the actual kayak, and the pedal drive. So we would get, you know, we knew kind of the idea for how we wanted to do it, which was this hole in the bottom of the Lono. So we made one of those first, you know, that kind of the Lono with the hole in it, so that we could then kind of tinker with that concept on the placement, because we had to figure out where the hole needed to be placed for the load for the rider, right? We knew we were going to have to transform the seat because we wanted a recumbent, you know, sitting position in the seat, as opposed to kind of the you know, the 2020 Lono to reset flat on the back deck. So we started there. I mean, honestly.
So the factory, so every time you come up with an idea, the factory would have to send you kind of the board, the
kind of
kayak with the stuff.
Kind of, but we were able to, I was able to kind of pin down kind of roughly where it needed to be. And then also
with 3D. Yeah,
with 3D. And then also, so we got a kind of rough space where we need to be. And then we also had to figure out how to make the seat move back and forth to accommodate the different rider sizes.
Yeah, I mean, this is a lot of complicated stuff. And we wanted to still keep it all inflatable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we didn't want rigid seat frames.
Right. Like aluminum.
Yeah,
like
we didn't want all that, man. I mean, there's, you know, I mean, we're jumping ahead, but there's like 5 patented things on this, you know, Lono. I mean, everything is like the seat itself is a patented innovation. Like, it's 100% inflatable recumbent drop stitch seat.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You just start there, and you're like, damn, that's badass. Yeah. And okay, don't go anywhere else, you know? That's cool enough.
Yeah.
Then you go all the way to all the other things, like the Magnapod that's on it, you know? It's patented.
Yeah.
The integration system for this thing, for the pedal drive into the Lono, you know, is patent pending, the way that we've got that thing kind of integrating into it. I'm sure I'm missing a whole bunch of other things, but besides the pedal drive, we had to do all this stuff. You know, I'm still trying to answer your question of the 3D versus in person.
Mm-hmm.
So we did, like, I know, like, the seat, the way that we came up with the seat concept was the aero chair. We literally crammed the aero chair
onto one of these units.
Onto one of them. And I'm like, man, that's a pretty good recumbent position.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just taking bits and pieces of things. It's a total Frankenstein, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the photos. I can show you. And then after he got the first pedal drive units, like the casting sample, I had a Lono sample here with a hole in the bottom, and I took basically baseboard 1x1x6 wood and made a very archaic
Frankenstein box
flange to sit in it, and then bolt this pedal drive to it so it would sit down in it. And then I welded a bunch of, like, you know, with actual PVC welding, welded straps to hold this thing in place so we could just see if it, hey, is the place right?
Mm-hmm.
Is the seat concept going to work? Is the whole concept going to work?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and are we going to be able to steer this thing and actually propel it? Does it move? Does it go fast?
Yeah.
Is the weight going to mess it up? Is it?
There's a bunch of shit,
dude. If you look at the kayak and you're from a lane, you know, from someone who doesn't understand design so well, I mean, I would look at it and go, man, how is that? The wind gonna affect it, or the pedals are pretty heavy, but it's also perfectly designed and weighted out.
My biggest concern is that was the we just used this word a few minutes earlier, that the harmony of the whole thing was just look jacked. Like you're talking about putting a lot of new stuff on this thing with trying to keep a fixed external look. You know what I mean? Like we had to keep that.
Yeah,
that's what I wanted to keep. Mm-hmm. I wanted to keep that. And then we had to do everything else, like, inside of that.
And we didn't want it to look like janky or an afterthought.
No.
In any manner. We wanted to look like it was really professionally designed and thought through.
And it was tough. I mean, there's things that work good, and I'm like, that's jank city, bro.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I noticed, and, you know, have brought it out in the water a few times at this point, the pedals themselves and I'm not a bicyclist either, but they look like something off of a high-end road bike or mountain bike, and it's head, there's weight to it. It's kind of like when you buy a camera lens, and people go, is this camera lens good? And I hold it, and I'm like, if it's not really heavy, it sucks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because then it means it's, the glass is, it's got a lot of plastic, and it's not made well. But this is, you pick this up, and it's like got meat. It's beefy, and it feels good. It just feels.
And that was a lot of the specs portion of it that I really wanted to get in there. I wanted to take my background in bicycles because I, you know, used to work at Trek Bikes, and I wanted to integrate that into this system because it, to me, it made sense to have nice high end products, you know, for like bicycle pedals on this thing because we were dealing with
straps,
crank arms. You know, we were dealing with a really nice high end product, and the stuff I was seeing out there was just really janky across the board, you know, plastic pedals, no bearings at times, like just, you know, not thought out and really just not that consumer friendly on that side.
And it doesn't look good.
Yeah.
Again, I keep coming back to making shit look good. It's got to look cool. If it doesn't look cool, I don't want it.
Yeah.
You're staring at that. The whole day you're pedaling, you're staring at the pedals, right? I mean, they're right in front of you, so it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
And a lot of these pedals, like Corey just showed me a photo of the
other day. My God,
it looked like something from the 80s, like some kind of bike that you would ride at a gym from 1989.
Yeah, it looks like... It looks like if you imagine like the first stationary bikes.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's
just
what I'm
junk.
Saying. Yeah.
You know, I'm like, what is? the pedals were like, you know, built for frogs or something. I mean, you need web feet to be able to use these things. Yeah, I don't know, man. But yeah, so just kind of back to that statement, we definitely didn't cut any corners on the overall concept. One of the things, I'm going back to some kind of the philosophy here, knowing that the pedal drive itself couldn't be more robust than the actual unit. You know what I mean? The biggest knock on inflatables that people give to inflatables is the word inflatable. And you know, our patent attorney was looking at the Lona recently, and he's like, dude, this thing, it's like, it just blows my mind. You know, this is not anything. When you think inflatable, you think pool float, and it's like a stigma. We got to come up. We got to get over that.
Yeah.
But I was saying, you know, that I didn't want the pedal drive to kind of be this over the top, just, you know, dinosaur looking, freaking metal. It looked like an outboard drive. You know what I mean? I didn't want it to look like some outboard motor. So we had to make it look pretty stylish, you know, and we had, you know, back to the whole design and the whole flange, we designed it, Aaron designed it to where it pivots in and out. So like when you're using the Lono, when you're pedaling it, if you were in really shallow water, you know, or you just want to go with a paddle, you just tilt the...
Which happened to us last week when we were shooting, and you weren't here, I don't think, Aaron.
No, I wasn't.
We had one of the girls was in it, she'd never been in it before, and we were getting shallow, and she just pulled it out.
Yeah.
Super easy.
Yep.
And
you pull it out, it's got a little rocker arm. It pins right to the thing.
Exactly like it should.
Pull it right out. The paddle. Yep. You're ready to rip. So that was a big piece, you know, being able to just pivot it out in and out of the kayak so you could use it either way. And just to kind of talk about some of the other pieces and the concept of this, we wanted to make it to where, you know, some of the competitors, it's an installed unit. You know, you buy the whole thing. So you're having to spend a lot of money at once. You know what I mean? You got to buy the kayak, the pedal drive, the rudder system.
Everything all together in one.
Everything all together. Whereas this, you know, we've kind of positioned it to where you can buy the Lono just as the Lono. And it works like it is. It has a little clear hole in it. And if you want to add the pedal drive for Christmas present or your birthday present.
And you get an upgraded seat.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, this thing, the seat on this is pretty badass. But we also had a design, you touched on it earlier, is a control system, the rudder system for this. I think that was the biggest pain in the ass.
That was. It was definitely interesting to kind of, you know, ideate through, you know, how is this thing going to work? What's going to make the most sense for the user? You know, we needed something that would kick up, you know, if you were to come into the beach or, you know, hit a rock or something else. You know, because you do have, you know, it is about 7 feet behind you roughly when you're kind of sitting on it. So, you know, and then it needed to steer really good. So that was the, you know, the big thing that we had to do and basically be, you know, made out of parts that, you know, wouldn't get corrosion, you know, wouldn't have any corrosion issues,
and come off and be easily, packable
and be small and compact.
One of the advantages that a rigid kayak has, you can a lot of this shit bolts to it permanently, and it can be hidden inside the hull.
Yeah,
I mean, we had to take this thing to where all the pieces are external, so all the gnarly underbelly of what normal people can just hide, you know, just run those lines through it. Who gives a shit? Nobody will ever see it. You know what I mean? That's the kind of stuff that you could do on a rigid kayak. But this had to all like be a kit, and it has to come off and then be kind of packaged together and then carried with the, you know, the board, because the board's inflatable. It's made to be rolled up. How'd you go about all that, dude?
Oh gosh. Kind of started from the front and then really just moved it forward. But I, you know, it was really a matter of making it all kind of work together and function as a complete unit. You know, everything from the steering knob up in the front. You know, we wanted to make a unit that, you know, depending on like, you know, because this kayak's really for fishing, we wanted to make it so that there was a left and a right hand steering option for the users. You know, so if you're using the rod in the other hand, you could easily flip flop it. You know, we had to make something that could go on and slide off real easy. I mean, it takes less than a minute probably with a couple screws to get this thing on and off. And then, you know, make it all so it folds up, and, you know, we have a little bag that this goes into and then attaches, you know, to the paddle drive unit, and you can, you know, throw it in the back of your car, you know, put it in the back of your truck, you know, and then take the rest of it and stick it all into a big bag. So it was a really, you know.
Yeah, all the intricate pieces of the rudder system, all the pins and the spring-loaded fin and rudder, the retraction system of the, you know, holding it with the bungee cord, the turning cables and adjustment cables. I mean, that's a lot of things that had to be put together pretty seamlessly to make this thing turn. And by the way, it turns like a dream. This thing, imagine you're in a 20-foot wide pool that's an endless length, right? You know what I mean? Like, so if you're in a, it's 20 feet wide, and you can do donuts, circles inside of this 20-foot wide pool, you know, by turning one way or the other at just kind of full tilt, just pedaling, just going in circles.
You can parallel park it.
Yeah, you can.
That's what we were thinking that'd be cool in our new pool over here. Put cones in there.
That's a good
and
idea.
Then parallel park like you're doing a teaching someone to drive a car.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can. You can spin it on a dime, too. You know, the pedal drive is not, it's not exactly midship, but you can pedal forward, and which we haven't talked about is the no-touch reverse. You don't have to flip any switches or anything to go in reverse. You just pedal backwards. So if you're trying to do a really sharp turn, you're pedaling forward, and you got your, you know, the angle turned, and you just want to pedal backwards, it'll just kind of pivot right where it sits, and you can kind of go forward.
Mm.
It's pretty sweet. Mm-hmm. We did there's another podcast coming up on how this is good, you know, excuse me, like the application, like why you can use it, you know, for fishing.
The maneuverability of it.
Yeah. That's it'll give you some insights there into kind of all the other pieces. But just finally, Aaron, just talk about the actual unit itself, like, you know, kind of some of the construction, some of the things you went through, you know, like on the castings and all the clear port and all that kind of stuff. Just give some insights into that in case somebody's wondering how that stuff's made.
So we're doing three large castings, a top portion, a middle section, and a bottom. And in that, basically, we're doing a 10-to-1 gear ratio. So every one pedal that you have, the propeller spinning 10 times around, which gives us a really nice speed on this unit.
Yep.
When you're pedaling it,
see fast.
It is very fast. Maintenance is super easy too. You know, we've got a couple of grease ports, both on the top and the bottom where the gears are, so you can easily just pop this thing out, check and see, you know, is there anything getting in? You know, is there anything going on? Okay, I'm just going to add some more grease and get this thing back on the road and rolling again. So, you know, we really looked at the maintenance side of this thing to free up a lot of that so that it's easy on the user.
Yep.
To just be out there and really just to get that user back on the water as quick as possible.
Mm-hmm. And this thing's prop driven. I don't know if we talked about that.
I don't think we did. But yeah, it is prop driven.
It's prop driven, you know. And another thing, too, this is not the stair stepper mode of pushing. This is a true pedal. So it's like a bike.
It's like a recumbent bike. What's nice, and I think Corey alluded to this, it is basically no touch in reverse. So you can literally go in, you know, let's say you're coming into shore or something, and then you realize, hey, I want to back out of that. You can go in full speed and then just start pedaling backwards and pull this unit back out. Like, so you could get into a cove and go boat. Back.
It's cool. Mm-hmm. It's cool. Yeah, the unit looks killer. I think we touched on it. The one cool thing on this is there's a plastic port viewport on the pedal drive itself, so you can kind of see down in the water to see if the pedal drive has ran into something or got something tangled up in it.
Clear. If you got to clear your weeds off your propeller, you got a full view access to it. And then we also did build a toolkit too, so you can bring that along with you in your little side pouch. And if you do have to pull that propeller off to get the weeds out, you have that ability to do that.
It's cool, man. Are you excited about it?
Yeah, I really am.
I'm ready to see what we little Easter egg, what we put this on in the future. we're gonna put a hole in Sean and pedal drive him.
Please. I need some help.
All right, dude. Well, Aaron, thanks for joining us today. Let's we'll just finally wrap it up by saying, you know, you go to our website and check out the Lono plus the Apex pedal drive. It's one of the coolest products we've had. It's top three, you know what I mean, in the history of the products that we've released. It's cool. You know,
what are your other two, in your opinion?
My opinion? I mean, There's so many.
Depending on the time they dropped or the complexity.
Well, yeah, so I'm not going to talk. Okay, so the paddle boards, the first one is not like, yeah. Of course that's number one or else I wouldn't be in business. So let's not like consider.
Right.
Let's not consider that. I think, man, you put me on the spot here.
I think when you first started the inflatable, like a chair, like when you first came up with that, I think that was really exciting.
The inflatable chair is definitely as simple as it is.
I like the Magnapod.
Well, that's an innovation. Yeah, there's so many cool things.
There's so many things.
You know, as a kit, I think the Rover, again, is a very simple, cool, like, approach. That's a cool thing.
That was, I remember when we did that. That was exciting, man.
I think the Rackham paddleboard, like the actual Rackham itself, for me is... It's not game-changing from a brand perspective. It is. Well, from a philosophy perspective, it really is. But this Lono and the kit here, I think they're original Lono, too. So, I mean, this is just kind of an upgrade of the original Lono. That was a game-changing kind of innovation for us. So, yeah, Rackham, chairs, Lono. I don't know. I like them all. but anyways, go to our site and check out the Lono plus the Apex pedal drive to learn more about it. Aaron, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Giving us some insights.
Go home and smoke some weed, bro. Get in your Subaru and go up to the old weed store and stock up for the weekend.
Get some stuff going.
Go skiing, bro.
Oh, yeah, dude. We're going to get some gnarly
pow pow.
We're going to smoke a big bowl, and we're going to go off-roading in our Subi. Gnar-gnar.
Gnar-gnar. Your favorite. Your favorite culture.
And don't you dare step on my Burks, bro.
All right, dudes. We're out. Later.